Hi, welcome back. You're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutan. Let's continue our discussion about the recently concluded UMNO General Assembly. Joining us now, we have the Executive Director of Merdeka Center, Ibrahim Sufiano, better known as Ben. Ben, so for many of us, myself included, you know, the most interesting thing coming out from the UMNO General Assembly was when UMNO President Zahid Hamidi stated quite conclusively in his opening assembly speech, no Bersatu, no Anwar and no DAP. Now I'm wondering, was that the most interesting for you that came out of the General Assembly over the weekend?
I think what's interesting for me is towards the end event when many speakers sit at peace. And the deputy president of the party said issued an ultimatum for a decision to be made by August year because it sort of draws a line to the sand about the extent to which the differences in politics and this dynamic will see a booted whether or not it will stay coalition or they will stay pull out once it. Emergency is over. So I think that gives a date for us to look at whether or not they mean what they say during the entire assembly.
Ben, it seems to me that the issue of the long game, or the game at the end game, as it were, for UMNO has been for the last year to, in fact, get the government to go to an election as soon as possible. And if that's correct, is it based on their assumption that they will do well at the next general election and they will do well even if they're not in a coalition with a Bersatu? Is that, and from your sense, is that a position that holds water, that it can be supported by evidence that UMNO will do well at the next general election, part of Barisan Nasional?
Well, it's something that they are hoping that they will do better. They believe that they will do better by themselves, even in a three-corner contest where they will be able to take back the seat that they lost during the election, as well as win back the seats whose MPs had defected over to Bersatu. I think to understand the thinking within UMNO and leadership right now, and the reason why they wish to pull away from this coalition is to look at the general political real estate. You know, UMNO contested something like upwards of 90 in the last election, and then they won around 60 seats, roughly speaking, 59. And since then, many MPs have defected over to Bersatu, leaving them with, you know, less than 40 MPs. And those that are currently UMNO MPs also have their question. So I think for UMNO, first and foremost, whether they win or do not do so well in the election, is that they do not wish to share the parliamentary seats with PAS and also Bersatu in an election setting. Because that will just reduce that to become a very small, perhaps, regional party. And I think the UMNO leaders who spoke over the weekend speak of an UMNO that's going to cover the lost ground. So they will try to win back the lost territory, and they need to do so without the participation of other hangers-on, meaning there's no space for Bersatu, there's no space for PAS, because UMNO needs all the seats it can get to contest in the election. Right. The second part is whether or not they can do well in an election, if an election is called. I think there's some thinking within UMNO that it cannot be worse than 2018. I think that remains to be seen. You know, right now, we can only surmise from surveys and analysis to see whether UMNO will do worse or better off compared to 2018. A lot of it depends on UMNO itself. Will UMNO be able to push forward a new set of leaders, younger leaders perhaps, more dynamic leaders, or will the same characters that were fielded in 2018 and some controversial leaders still remain in the field? And I think we are, looking at UMNO that's facing the crossroads and have to decide whether or not they can change in order to recover the lost ground.
Well,
so
Ben, sorry to interrupt you, but, you know, on that note, whether how UMNO will decide, I know Musa did say that it is up to the, it's in the hands of the UMNO delegates how they're going to go forward. And I want to cite a Merdeka Center survey that you guys did in January that found that most Barisan Nasional supporters want UMNO to remain as part of the current Perikatan Nasional-led government. Now, I'm wondering whether this is a reflection of the current sentiment within UMNO. And whether this is what we will see. Will the leaders truly respond to what the grassroots sentiment is within the party?
There is a dichotomy between the average Malay voter that wants to see a Malay-dominant coalition rule the country and the people within the UMNO hierarchy, people from, you know, the party president all the way down to the Ketua Cawangan, the branch leaders in the respective constituencies across the country. There is a big dichotomy there. People within the structure, I think, want to see UMNO take back the seats that they have lost in the election, and they want to see the party come back to power and supply the prime minister that runs government in the future. Average Malay voters, you know, out there on the street, they want to see a dominant Malay party that rules over, that presides over a multi-ethnic coalition. So most people continue to want to see the multi-ethnic coalition, but with the dominant Malay party that has the final say, kind of UMNO. So a lot of Malay voters want to see the Perikatan arrangement succeed, simply because they like the concept of Malay unity. They like the idea of UMNO, PAS and Bersatu working together, and this notion that these Malay political leaders, despite their differences, are able to sit around the table and resolve issues. It's a bit utopian, but this is what people want to see. I think that may not pan out in the election, judging by how the rhetoric was over the weekend.
Ben, when we look at, you know, which party gets to be the dominant one, Bersatu obviously wants to remain the dominant partner in any coalition, and so does UMNO. And UMNO's bid to return to the glory days of Barisan Nasional, it has perhaps, and I'm asked, want to get your thoughts on this, thrown a bit of a monkey wrench into their own machine by raising the spectre of Sharia, that they will champion Sharia. We're already seeing dissenting voices coming from Sabah and Sarawak over this statement. How do you think this will play out?
Well, I think this whole notion or concept of Sharia was brought about by the president himself. I think he has that kind of persuasion. He has always advocated a kind of cooperation with PAS in the early days, and he has always been having a kind of Islamist sympathies, you know, within the UMNO hierarchy. But I think at the end of the day, UMNO is a very much pragmatic organization that's rooted in the realities of politics today. And I think the UMNO that we see, you know, convened over the weekend is one that's trying to find the space for, number one, to allow the party leadership to consolidate his hold over the party. And this, number two, to set the agenda forward. And in order to force the Prime Minister to call for an election very soon. And number three, to push the discussion towards the future of the party under the current set of leadership. And therefore, you know, avoid the messy discussion about the controversies that they're embroiled in and whether or not the current leadership really can bring about the support from the general Malay population. So the whole discussion about Sharia, I think I agree with our previous speaker that it is meant to put a foil on PAS, to put pressure on PAS that they have not been able to deliver on their Sharia promise despite being in government. And there's a number of issues that has happened over the last several weeks, which I think is going to put PAS on the back foot, on the defensive, to answer to its Malay constituency, including the Kalima Allah issue.
Ben, I'm wondering, you know, I mean, all these conversations are being had at the highest level of the party. We're also looking at, you know, federal issues. But should we be looking at the state level? Because, you know, UMNO chapters have espoused very differing approaches. If you have, you know, you've seen statements that UMNO will cooperate with Bersatu in some states like Sabah and Perlis, although Perlis has recanted this stance since. And then, you know, if you look at Perak and Johor, UMNO leaders have clearly said that they will not work with Bersatu. Should we be looking at, you know, at the state state level, a more granular look at how these party cooperation is going to pan out?
Well, I think in most political parties, the national leadership really calls the shot, because ultimately, if elections are called, the party president is going to be the one that provides the candidacy, that signs the candidacy nomination for those that's going to run for office, whether at the state level or at the parliamentary level. So state leaders can do the posturing right now to perhaps protect their own position and maintain the relationship or the good relationship that they have with the current ruling coalition, and they can say all of those things. But ultimately, they will have to kowtow to the party president, because they need the candidacy from UMNO. If they still want to become a candidate from UMNO, they need to be nice to its president and therefore listen to him. If not, I think many of these people will be getting messages that if you want to go with the other party, that's fine, you can go ahead and do so now.
Okay. Ben, do you think Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, both as Prime Minister as well as President Bersatu, will be worried coming out of this, watching what happened over the weekend? Are there concerns for him here?
Well, I think, he's an astute political hand. He has, decades of experience there. So I think he knows what's coming. This is not new. And in fact, perhaps this is the final realization of all the rhetoric, the dynamics, and the backroom discussions that have already taken place over the last several months. We can see the tension that took place last year, in the course of which the Perikatan National Coalition wanted to pass the national budget. We can see the stress that took place there. So I think what transpired over the weekend allowed for some realizations to take stock in terms of what's going to happen next. And so I think for this situation, it allows him to plan for the future.
Right. Ben, thank you so much for speaking with us tonight. Always a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you. Yeah. That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. Don't forget to get the latest news and information on COVID-19 vaccine updates at astroawani.com as well as the Astro Awani app. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the episode.
We'll be back with you same time tomorrow. Till then, good night.